Thank you, Irene, and thank you to everyone from Artisan Labs and Séance Société. And I apologise for the fact that I have to present in English. My Swiss German would really not be up to it, so many apologies. What I've been asked to do is, in my time today is to present a short synopsis of findings from a research project on international art science collaborations. By exploring Swiss Artisan Labs as an experimental site, I want to indicate its place within a larger international context of art science projects, but also examine some of the key benefits that we found accruing to individuals, organisations and multiple publics who engage with Swiss AIL and its projects. Now, our research has been funded over 4 years by the National Science Foundation in the US and the Arts and Humanities Research Council in the UK. And the research team, which I've listed here, was assembled to develop the project by way of geography researchers, drawing together scholarship in science and social science, as well as training, in my case, in art theory and history. So it was an interdisciplinary research team. And Swiss Artisan Labs was one of a series of international art science organisations that we worked with, all of which offered very different models for how art science projects can be funded and can proceed, and what their impacts can be. So some examples of the sorts of organisations we looked at included Symbiotica, which is a university-based research laboratory that enables artists and researchers to engage and experiment with wet biological practices. And they're based in the School of Anatomy, Physiology and Human Biology in the University of Western Australia, Perth. Now, Arts Catalysts are a commissioning and curatorial organisation who coordinate arts projects that engage with science. And they're based in London and funded by the UK Arts Council. Cape Farewell were another UK organisation who take a very specific focus on climate change. And they're best known for their voyages with artists and scientists who they send to the Arctic on ships. And they're also funded by the Arts Council. Another organisation we studied was AVL, which is an organisation of scientists, computer programmers and visualisers who are based at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. And AVL adopted the idea of a Renaissance team methodology for their work in order to create data-driven visualisations for both scientific research use as well as public engagement. Now, what I want to do today is focus on the work that I did with Swiss Artisan Labs, but use findings from these other sites to help draw my conclusions. And to organise my thoughts, I want to consider AIL as an experimental interdisciplinary site. And by the idea of an experimental site, I mean a location at which knowledge is advanced, where risks are taken, and where sometimes the possibilities are opened up for something new, for the as yet unthought. As I want to suggest, it is not just the art science projects themselves that are exciting experimental sites, but also AIL as an organisation. Now, we explored these different projects as examples of experimental processes with a range of benefits, and these we found included the art science projects themselves as an experimental process that brought about benefits to the art world, as well as to a scientific research community. We often witness within these projects the pedagogic benefits of this process in terms of effects on teaching content, both within and without the university. This impacted on styles of teaching, as well as innovative hybrid courses. And we also saw how experimental projects could manifest in a whole series of outputs that had impacted directly upon diverse publics, as well as offering an interesting framework within which to reflect quite critically on the contemporary processes of science communication and engagement. I want to begin, though, by exploring how the ways that AIL enables us to think of art science projects as an experimental process. And I want to argue that AIL not only helps the art science projects to happen, but also creates a critical space within which we can think about these projects, reflecting on their processes and their challenges and their critical contributions to the art world and to the academy as a whole. With the accrued experience of its core team, Jill Scott and Irene Hediger, who function as both mediators and mentors, Swiss AIL has developed an international model for art science projects that foregrounds critical creative collaborations between artists and scientists, and crucially enables to reflect on these processes. Rather than pretending that such projects are easy and straightforward, AIL recognised the complexity of such collaborative relations and have a series of strategies in place to help facilitate these projects. And the strategies that we saw to work really well included building a very long-term relationship with science facilities, using a competitive artistic selection process that was based not only on fit with the lab, but also high-quality artistic process. Further, the nine-month model they adopt allows for relationship building as well as the development of work. And finally, the adoption of videography practices sees professional filmmakers and digital media artists recording these collaborations, and these videos are key features in the exhibitions of AIL, like Think Art Act Science, and you can see the examples of the videos around the room now. Further, we also think that it was really important that AIL developed an international network of artists and scientists they've worked with. And what this all came together to mean was that as well as the contributions that individual projects made to scientific fields like climate change and like neuroscience, we also saw that the very processes of AIL as an organisation was important for enabling us to reflect on collaborative interdisciplinary endeavours and how we explore and experiment with them. Interestingly though, as well as contributing to the art world theorisations, we also saw AIL's project as enabling us to think hard about the sorts of ideas that science and technology scholars are interested in, through the aesthetic framing of practices and processes that are carried out in these collaborations. We find really fascinating questions opened up about experimental processes, about questions of accuracy, about questions of precision. I want briefly to elaborate on two particular examples, and further to think about in particular the nature of the interaction between scientists, artists and research teams. And firstly, I want to talk about the collaboration between artist researcher Nicole Ottinger and the Brain Mind Institute at Lausanne, an laboratory of cognitive neuroscience. And Nicole's actually here, so she can talk about her project in more detail maybe with you later. Now here Nicole was part of an interdisciplinary research team, including architectural researchers and neuroscientists. And this team seems to have coalesced around research questions of self, subjecthood, space, and spatial experience. And Ottinger in particular experiments with the doing of self-portraiture, examining the localizations of the self in body and in space. In a rather different collaboration, we see Mary-France Bonofsky working with the Native Systems Laboratory in the Computer Science Institute at ETH in Zurich, where she explores panoramic space and haptic neurofeedback technologies. Her explorations with native systems processes, software and hardware, in particular their wearable computing systems, saw Mary-France's aesthetics and design processes and training, enabling her to be an active part of the group's development of its research projects. As both these examples attest, the results of these projects are not only a fascinating set of artistic practices, but also developments in scientific research methods and practices. We see interdisciplinary PhDs happening, we see ongoing interdisciplinary research conversations and jointly authored papers and presentations in scientific journals and conferences. Both these projects too, from our ethnographic research, were clearly also excellent examples of how art-science collaborations, like many other forms of interdisciplinary collaboration, can see a coming together of methods and approaches, skill sets and knowledges, to engage and extend a set of shared research questions that exceed the capacities, skill sets and knowledge of individuals. The presence of these collaborations, I would suggest, move us beyond what is possible from either party acting alone, with the processes of interacting and the scientific and artistic objects that result being ones that force those involved, as well as those of us who encounter the projects, to move beyond the horizons of our familiar knowledge, skill sets and capacities. We find perhaps the clearest recognition of the benefits of art science projects, to the science world at least, in the trend within the international science community for funding interdisciplinary explorations with arts practitioners and designers. So we see world-leading science and technology institutions such as MIT, Berkeley, Stanford and UCL, amongst others, all setting up research centres, collectives and residencies that represent a permanent scaling up of the benefits of these individual projects. And the impacts of these kind of enterprises move far beyond the individual scientists and artists, or even the research teams involved, to permeate the teaching frameworks of the institutions. At the most obvious level, we see PhD programmes and further study opportunities. We also find insights and innovative examples feeding directly into undergraduate teaching and course content. Symbiotica, for example, has formalised these educational possibilities in their undergraduate and master's programmes, which are open to scientists, artists, and humanities scholars. They've also created a hybrid master's in biological arts. In a very different educational context, we see the UCLA Nano Lab developing an innovative summer school for high school students. The programme this past summer saw students learning not only the specifics of scientific process and art history, but also being trained to be creative, innovative, and flexible thinkers and subjects. Subjects, they argued, that were well suited to our current social, economic, and political times. And I want to close by thinking briefly about the benefits of these art science projects that develop around what we in the UK would call the impact agenda. I don't know if you have a similar kind of phrasing over here. But what I'm thinking of especially is the tense and very contested relationship around the place of art in relation to science communication and engagement, a relationship that can be incredibly fruitful, but one that can also be fraught throughout collaborations. Across the range of art science projects we studied, there's a clear heterogeneity of ways in which these art projects engage different publics, whether this by way of art exhibitions, presented thematically, key international arts venues, syllabus engagements in schools, site-specific installations, or participation in fairs and festivals. And here are just some of the ones I went to with AIL over the 6 months I was involved with them. But beyond the standard forms, what we found particularly interesting about AIL was how, together with the artists they're working with, they were experimenting with what it meant to bring together cutting-edge forms of art practice with cutting-edge forms of science and contemporary ideas of science communication. And we see this perhaps made most visibly present in the recent State of the Art project funded by the Agora Fund of the Swiss National Science Foundation. So, for example, Christina Dell'Agostina, during her residency at WSL Bermensdorf, which is an ongoing collaboration, explored the forms and transmission of scientific knowledge, focused in particular on exploring the place of trees in the hydrological cycle. She experimented with a range of different ways in which we encounter scientific knowledge. Over the course of the residency, she developed botanical drawings as well as a sound piece. And in conversation with scientists at the Institute, what emerged were plans to develop that sound piece to orchestrate a series of social events that engaged local communities. Both she and WSL were particularly keen to develop relations with residents who lived and worked the land around the institution's permanent plot sites. Thinking through the aesthetics and politics of artistic encounter, Dell'Agostina was concerned to create productive relationships between scientific and non-scientific communities that were based on points of mutual knowledge exchange rather than a process of information transfer going from scientist to non-scientist. There was much more to be said, of course, about all these projects and the myriad benefits that they bring, but also about the AIL programme, whether we're talking about the impacts on scientific communities, on artistic communities, as well as a whole range of different publics. One note I think is worth ending on, and it's observation that comes from someone who is a non-Swiss resident. And this was based around the increasingly important place we found and were observing that Swiss art science projects held as a form of national export and cultural diplomacy. And we were very interested in the number of people who kept talking about and identifying science and technology as really key exports for Switzerland. And it was fascinating to observe how organisations like SwissNex were really kind of were using art science projects as coming to stand for high-level processes of innovation. In other words, art science projects then are becoming part of a Swiss promotion of identity abroad. And this raises a really fascinating sense of art and science as cutting-edge, interdisciplinary, innovative endeavours that I think is worth a lot more further reflection. Thank you.